Welcome to our Blue Papers podcast edition. Blue Papers are our version of white papers here at 4imprint. They cover a wide range of business topics, all with an aim to help your organization succeed. Today, we're featuring part one of a two-part series on ad blocking. This episode is presented by 4imprint Incorporated customer service manager, Brandon Manthe.
Ad blocking. How ad blockers work and why people use them. Internet users are saying no to online advertising. They're fed up with intrusive ads that slow down websites and collect their data. Because of this, consumers are turning on ad blockers. They can't see what they're not missing. But for marketers behind websites, the consequences are visible in reduced ad revenue and missing visitor data. So, what exactly does an ad blocker do? Ad blockers stop ads from being loaded by a browser, serving up the web free of advertising and, at the misfortune of marketers, without audience data collection. Ad blockers use a list of rules to determine which ads to block, and an open source community curates a database of blocked advertising. Blockers put users in a powerful position to shake up online marketing activity. In this podcast, we'll take a look at the rise of ad blockers and how they affect marketers, even those who are not placing web ads. We'll also sort out the reasons people use ad blockers. Let's get started. 198 million monthly users blocked ads globally in June of 2015. To compare, 121 million users blocked ads just 18 months earlier. That's an increase of more than 60%. In the United States, 28% of people are browsing with an ad blocker turned on. Hone in on millennials, those aged 18 to 29, and that number jumps to 41%, making it increasingly difficult for marketers to reach and capture data on this highly sought-after target audience. Up until this point, mobile has had little influence on ad blocking growth. But more people are spending time online using mobile devices than desktop computers, setting up the next battleground for ad blocking. In September 2015, Apple turned heads when it released iOS 9, the first operating system to block ads on its Safari browser. With millions of Apple mobile device owners, it stood to reason that mobile ad blocking use would jump. And it did. Within the first day of the operating system's release, the most downloaded app was an ad blocker. What's behind the reason for all of this ad blocking? In short, web users have tired of ads that pop up, drop down, or in some form intrude on a seamless browsing experience. Creators of ad blockers saw a need and pounced with options that are free and easy to download and install. A report on the state of ad blockers also shows Google itself has led the charge in ad blocking with the popularity of its Chrome browser, which has taken market share away from Internet Explorer. Ad block extensions are easy to install on Chrome for desktop computers, leading to a 51% increase of ad blocking use between the second quarter of 2014 and the same period of 2015. For website owners and publishers, this trend turns into lost revenue. It's estimated that global ad revenue loss will reach $41.4 billion in 2016. Ironically, it's estimated that Google, the biggest digital ad seller and owner of Chrome, may have lost $6.6 billion in 2014 thanks to ad blocking. In order to fully understand the scope of ad blockers' influence on the web experience, we need to understand what happens on browsers that run without blockers. Let's take a snapshot of how the web works with ads in these four steps. Step 1. An ad is displayed on a website in front of a targeted audience. Step 2. The advertiser collects audience data through the displayed ad. Step 3. The website is then paid by the advertiser or third party for displaying the ad. And step 4. The website uses the ad revenue to prepare more content for the target audience. As you heard, ad blocking affects more than just ads. Some ad blockers also restrict analytics tracking, calls to action, and social media sharing buttons on websites, pretty much anything that's not text. With all these marketing tools essentially obscured by ad blockers, marketers face a huge struggle to measure and refine their tactics and strategies. Looking at what motivates the use of ad blockers explains a lot about their growth. Research points to three major reasons people block ads. First is poor user experience. This is the overarching reason ads get blocked. It's important to note poor UX does not translate into consumers not wanting to see ads. Michael Endler, a marketing content manager, points to Super Bowl ads as evidence we are still a society that appreciates advertising. In preparation for the big game, marketers put forth their best advertising effort for a worldwide audience that is waiting to see the year's best commercials. The difference with web ads is that they often create screen clutter and cause pages to load slowly. They can be intrusive, especially on mobile devices with smaller screens. On smartphones, ads can completely cover desired content. And some people start using ad blockers because they feel the quantity of ads has increased. Second is security risks. Some ads have been tied to online risks, infecting visitors' computers with malware. At the same time, some people feel their data is misused in an effort to personalize ads. And third is perceived value. To many users, ads found online aren't value add. They're not worth checking out, compared with television creative. And ad blockers are easy to install, another way they provide value. Now that we know a bit about ad blockers, in our next podcast, we'll discuss how to thrive in spite of ad blockers by enhancing the user experience, building a brand following, and more.
Thanks for listening to part one of this series on ad blocking. Keep on the lookout for part two, where we'll discuss how improving user experience will save digital marketing. Also, make sure you check out our 4imprint podcast archive at 4imprint.com/bluepapers.